at the end of the day, to do more production, if I'm not busy, I can either bring in more people to do more of the industry I do on them, or I expand my skill set or grow my menu to accommodate more services with the current people that I have.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Hope you're having a great day. So glad to have you here joining us today on this podcast episode. Great episode coming to you today. And this will be more uplifting than last one. I got a lot of good texts and because people were saying some nice things about the last episode. But I think people were worried about me. And so I appreciate all of it. I just want to be real with people. That's what this podcast has always been. You know, it's always been no agenda outside of my own agenda, which is really at this point just to hopefully share and encourage and help people do more with what they got, you know, at the end of the day. So I hope you enjoyed the last episode, but today's going to get back to just general productive things. So you don't have to worry about crying or anything like that during today's episode. All right. So what we're going to talk about today is, honestly, it's a good topic. It's basically, how do we deal with our menu of services? When do we expand our menu of services? When do we need to get things off our menu, and getting really granular about that in good times and in tough times. But before we get into the podcast, what I do want to remind you all is that the 3D Dentist Growth Summit is just around the corner, May 1st and 2nd. We have a number of new speakers outside the 3D family this year, so that's very exciting. Dr. Parag Kachilya, the former clinical director of the Seattle Study Club. He's also now one of the, I don't know what his title is, clinical director of some other couple companies, but the guy's been doing this kind of stuff for a long time, very digital technology. He's going to be talking about AI in dentistry. So what we're doing with AI in dentistry, not only in x-rays, but administrative and all the other areas where AI is coming. So he's going to talk about that. And then Dr. Allie Fraunfelter, super pumped to have her. A lot of you know Allie. She's going to be speaking, and she's going to be speaking on really what cosmetic dentistry and 3D printing has done in her practice. So a lot of sharing cases, practical workflows to show you what she's doing to really go from a cosmetic dentist that did general dentistry to really focusing her entire book of procedures on that. So those should be good speakers. More to come. We'll continue to release those out as we go, but make sure you go online and book because we don't have a ton of seats left. Whew. Your menu of services. So one of the things that we see very quickly when we work with a lot of doctors in the mastermind program is that they've expanded their menu of services to be what we would really call like a super GP. Like they've gone and they've learned a lot of stuff. And I think it's the typical model and the typical plan that as a young dentist, my way to grow is that I invest in myself and I go take CE and I kind of build what that looks like. It's a good strategy for growth. Now, the challenge to that strategy is that same strategy becomes very limiting when you get to a point where you're busy. And so now all of a sudden, if I've got a skill set that can do, I could sedate somebody and do 4 or 5 crowns in one visit, every time that I see the patient with no sedation for just one crown, it's costing me opportunity cost. Because once we get busy, the maximum amount of production I can generate in a set period of days, let's call it 16 days for a month, working 4 days a week, is going to be limited based off my menu of services and what I allow to get on my menu. So like, for instance, if I only allowed fillings to get on my menu, even if I worked nonstop during the 8-hour day for 16 days, I'm going to be held to a certain capacity of production. If I now say I'm only limited to crowns, it'll be a higher number based off that. If I say I'm only limited to implants, it'll be a high number based off that. So you hopefully you'll see what I'm tracking here, and that like ultimately what we allow to get on our schedule based off the menu of services we offer is ultimately a very big gauge for what our top-end potential production can be. Now, a couple of things you might be thinking, and they're fair points. One is there's not endless supplies of bigger, larger case dentistry. Even if it's 3 or 4 crowns at one time, there's not an endless supply of that. So we can't just formulate something out of thin air. It needs to be based off a little bit of historical data to know, hey, this is what I can actually potentially accomplish reasonably. And we always want to stretch that. So like what we prioritize on our schedule should be directly related to where we want to go, not necessarily what our current status quo is. I'll give you an example. I talked to a dentist yesterday, and the conversation was around new patients and hygiene. And I said, we want to prioritize new patients, right? And he's like, of course. And I said, so the challenge is if I want to change how many new patients I allow to get on my schedule based off the blocks that I have, and I'm going to set that out for, say, 6 months when I have openings, let's say I set it to 20 patients. That was what he said. When I said, well, how many historically have you gotten? And he's like, well, probably like 15, 18. So I was like, well, that doesn't seem like a super big stretch. How many hygienists do you have? And he was like, well, we have 2 hygienists working 16 days. That's 32 hygiene days. So I was like, that's not even a new patient a day per hygienist. And so I was like, that I feel like you could stretch that. Here's the problem if we don't stretch it. I get to July, now all of a sudden my 20 are filled. How hard is it to now add more hygiene, new patients? It's difficult because now the changes I make then don't go till another 6 months out. Versus I said, well, how hard is it if you have too many blocks and then start to fill them with recare? It's not very hard at all. So I would always rather be a little bit on the stretch side of what I want to do, knowing that there are typically always going to be something less productive to fill. It would be no different on the doctor schedule, by the way, of me having maybe 2 or 3 more implant blocks than I have historically had, or 2 or more sedation blocks than I've historically had, because worst case scenario, I just shut those down and then fill those back up with your fillings or your single crowns or whatever is less there. So that kind of ties into how our menu affects our schedule. Now, at some point, the problem is that our menu is too big, meaning I can't even prioritize everything I need or want because the menu has literally gotten out of control. And this is a hard concept because we're going into, I think, an industry-wide period where I just see more and more people struggle and have it's just a slower go out there. And even if you're not experiencing that now, at some point you will, right? Because that kind of is just a cyclical pattern of the way the world works. And so how do I adjust my menu in times that are tough? Well, when those times come into play, that's typically when we're going to start to grow our menu. Because at the end of the day, to do more production, if I'm not busy, I can either bring in more people to do more of the dentistry I do on them, or I expand my skill set or grow my menu to accommodate more services with the current people that I have. A much better strategy, in my opinion, because you don't have to go find more people. These patients are already there, they already like you, et cetera. So when times are tough, or when I'm not busy and I'm trying to grow, that's when adding skill sets can be helpful. Or when I'm at capacity, I'm busy, but I've reached a plateau based off what my menu allows me to do, that would also be another time to go potentially grow and add more services. And a concept that I think that's important is that maybe a good place to be a starting point is that for every new procedure you learn, you should stop doing another procedure. That should almost be like a one-to-one type thing. Now, that obviously creates challenges, especially if you're a solo doc practice, because, well, where do they go? And that's a good reality, and one reality of why we believe in more of an associate model at 3D Dentist is because I know that I want to get things off my menu, right? And by menu, for those of you that don't hang out with us or haven't heard or listened a lot, but what I mean is you can't go to Burger King and get a taco. I don't think you can go to Burger King and get a taco, at least. It's not on their menu. Now, if times got really tough and Burger King was trying to survive, what they'd probably consider doing is maybe adding things to their menu. But from a supply chain standpoint, internal standpoint for Burger King, that's one more thing they have to stock, one more thing they have to keep, one more thing they have to teach people. It doesn't make sense for them to add tacos to their menu. So we really shouldn't be that different in a dental office, and that me as a provider should have a menu, and at some point I should grow out of some of the services that I offer. And so as I, if you look back at our historical growth from going from a one doctor in my dad practice to two and me to now six doctors, it really was a product of menu growth and then replacing things on my menu. So basically what I kind of started was would work was if I go learn how to place implants, that would mean that I would offset enough production and grow to then maybe take away fillings, single crown, maybe just one filling at a time, something like that. And then the question would get begged, well, now where do these people go? That produces the need for a doctor with a certain menu. So then we would hire a doctor and they would have a certain menu, and then those patients would funnel to the doctor that has the menu. And so we've always kind of come from a standpoint about our office that we have practice patients. And practice patients can choose the dentist to do, anybody will check them in hygiene, but they, a patient can choose to see the doctor that has, that offers the service that they have. Now, this can also be a good strategy for you trying to grow associate schedules, because what most people try to do is they maybe limit the amount they do, or they still offer it, but they try to just tell the patients to go to the new doctor. Well, a better strategy is that when they get there to schedule and they're like, well, you need to do three fillings, or you need to do the single crown. And they say, no problem, Mrs. Jones. What day would you like? Awesome. You'll be with Dr. So-and-so. Well, I like to be with Dr. Sully. Oh, I totally get that, Mrs. Jones. Dr. Sully doesn't actually do those procedures. He doesn't do those? Yes. So that's one of the reasons we brought in Dr. So-and-so, because they do a great job. And his part of the practice is focused around this. And he actually doesn't do any of those procedures anymore. Like, it's a way easier, it's not an easy conversation, it's an easier conversation than in a situation where I have to actually, I could give them the availability, and then the problem was then some people would wait. But if you are a solo doctor and you don't want to add associate, or you're not ready to do that mentally, then the strategy there is to then limit the amount of stuff you do, limit the amount of certain things you sell. So like, for instance, fillings. Let's use this as an example. Fillings would be that instead of having an abundance of fillings that I sell each month, I would only sell six slots for fillings. It's no different than going to like, you know, maybe you go to a steakhouse. They only have so many of a certain item for different reasons. And so once it sells out, that's it. If they sell out, you can't be like, well, I really want it. I really want to get on your schedule for fillings this month. Sorry. My next fillings are available at the following month. Now, this is a hard strategy because what this ultimately requires is really good leadership. Now, it's very effective, but it requires good leadership and accountability with you as the dentist and with the team. Because if we allow our menu to be, I have utter availability for anything all the time at the patient's convenience, that limits your potential. And don't get me wrong, and don't hear me wrong, we're very patient-centric. We're not patient first. And I think that is a critical difference in the way we operate. And I think that a lot of people were taught how they should operate is we're patient-centric practice first. Meaning I ultimately set my schedule around my family, what I need to accomplish, and my stuff. Then I look to my team and I set things around those teams. Like, we don't work, we're a big business with six doctors and a bunch of people, but we don't work weekends because that doesn't work with my team. So like, I'm practice first there, even though it would probably be more patient-centric to be open on Saturdays when other people aren't necessarily working. So you can be practice first and still be super patient-centric. I don't want to get a bad rap for that in thinking that I'm not. I'm very patient-centric, but I also realize that I can't be all of that, because then all that does is just leave me and my team being the ones that take the short end of the stick, and that's not sustainable. So what happens is, and we kind of walk through a process, is over, and I'll use me as an example. Over the past couple of years, my menu has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller as we've grown. I've invested in a lot of CE. I've learned to do certain things. So now, in my eyes, I would prefer to only do things that are very highly profitable or that I enjoy. So for me, that's the fixed hybrid world, right? That's, you see me post about it. It's what I love. It's what I teach. But guess what? Big case fixed hybrid world isn't going so great right now. Maybe that's just Nashville. I think it's more other places. Maybe people aren't getting approved for financing. And so what has to happen to my menu? Well, if I don't change anything, my production will go down. That should not be acceptable to you. So then what I have to do is I need to start bringing back things into my menu. So now all of a sudden, my procedural mix of dentistry is going to start to look different. And then instead of just doing arches, now it's arches of restorative, quadrants of restorative, maybe two or three implants at a time. I have to start opening up to my eyes, kind of letting my ego aside to be realistic that I've got to bring some things back into my menu so that I can continue to meet the production levels that I need to meet. That's a hard concept because, like, again, when times are good, the reverse happens. I'm going to take these things off my menu as soon as I can. Get back to doing it's the work smarter, not harder mentality. If I focus my procedure mix in abundance to things that are more productive, I get to work less, make more. When times aren't as good, I can't hold that line. I have to be open to bringing things back into my menu so that I maintain the level of production. Now, some of you, depending on where you are in your career and the size of your practice, this ebb and flow can happen somewhat naturally, like more often because of just the ups and downs of the changes. But you should never limit yourself. I mean, you should always limit yourself, even if something's on your menu, to only doing so many. It can't just be this all or nothing, like come one, come all, or I'm only doing this. And that ends up being the hard place to live and, again, takes the most leadership. But it's an important topic because in the tough times, you have to expand again. Bring things back into your menu. So I'll end with this today. If you're somebody who's trying to grow and you're noticing, man, what I'm currently doing isn't keeping me busy enough, that is a time to go learn to do more. Implants was the gateway clinical procedure that changed my career. When I learned to place the single implant, it offset everything. I was able to do an implant restoration in a short period of time, and that right there literally was a game changer to me starting to get things off my menu. So if you're not placing implants, it's something you should consider. Obviously, we would love to teach you at 3Dentists. Go check that out. But if you're in that point, consider expanding your skill set. If you're someone who has a skill set and you've reduced your menu, you may have to consider bringing things back into your menu. And then when times start to get good again, the inverse happens. I hope this was helpful today. Just real life stuff that we're seeing in my own practice. And you may start to see me post things that normally you don't see because we got to do what we got to do. Hope you have a great day. Work smarter, harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.